from the number one sports site in the world.
Yahoo!
This is Yahoo Sports Radio.
YahooSportsRadio.com.
It's the weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio at YahooSportsRadio.com. And you know us sports fans? Yeah, we like other things other than sports. Like cars and automotive stuff. Welcome to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing, now on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Let's put the key in the ignition, shall we? And fire up the engines.
From the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome in. It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. I'm Matt Perrault here as we are back for another week. We will talk to a little tire representative coming up in about 30 minutes. But first and foremost, Mr. Mike Herzing, how are you, my friend?
How you doing, big boy?
Good Saturday morning to you.
We've had a wet week here in Houston. It's been nasty, but it's getting nicer.
It's been nasty all over the country. There was a nasty weather set that came through here in Las Vegas. It was raining.
No, we had rain.
Well, yeah, and during the NASCAR race that was just here over the weekend, it was a sandstorm, and it was windy, and it was crazy. And then the sun came out, and so far it's been warmer weather, and warmer temperatures are headed your way. Don't you worry. The country will look better relatively quickly and soon for you guys.
Well, as I've been whining about the cold weather, now I'll be whining about the hot weather.
Yeah, exactly right. It's right around the corner. All right, let's start off talking a little bit about SUVs here, because I know we're through the wintertime months in most of the country, but here we are into the springtime months. We start talking about flash floods. We start talking about some people who like to go out and go mudding, people who like to get ready for some off-roading in the summertime and to go out into the outdoors. And there is a list out now of the best SUV buys that are under $25,000.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty unique list.
Yeah.
Because it highlights that really, in terms of domestic, Jeep really leads the way here.
Well, they're it. But, yeah. You know, what's selling right now is the compact and the new subcompact SUVs. Or really, they're honestly, most of these are CUVs, compact utility vehicles. Your CUVs, mm-hmm. or crossovers, you know, and honestly, that's what people like. I mean, I'll be honest with you, when you get to this small, you end up hard to get a sedan, you know,
right.
Hard to get a trunk, and there's no room. So you really have to have an SUV. I mean, when you get to be the size of a Honda HRV or a CRV, an HRV is even smaller than the CRV, which the CRV is the number one. It's probably also one of the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
That's CRV is what they thought was the best under $25,000, and it's kind of hard. It's just, you can barely get a CRV under $25,000. You know, there's no room, and if you have a trunk, you've got a tiny car. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I really am a big fan of the CRVs though.
Yeah.
Because of the way they drive, the way they handle, you can get it. And it's obviously going to be more expensive than $25,000, but you can upgrade the engine to have some real nice pump and punch. And when you lay the seats down, it's got a good amount of room in there when you lay the back seats down.
Right.
And so it's not awful. It's actually, like, to me,
it's a nice size.
Yeah, a used one of those. If you're sending your kid to college coming up this summer and you can find like a CRV with like 150,000 miles on it, it's actually a really great car.
Right.
For kids, because it's really dependable. My mom and stepdad just got rid of their CRV, and it had 255,000 miles on it.
Right. Yeah. The other day, one of the kids at school came in with a Wrangler, and it had a couple hundred thousand miles, but it was a two-door Wrangler. And, but a great kid's car. I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
Or a four-door Wrangler, if you can find one. They're getting to where they're old enough where you can actually get them on the market pretty well. And what a great car to send somebody off to college with.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, for sure.
It's pretty hard to screw that. I mean, you can't get stuck, especially if you can get the four-wheel drive. They can't get stuck.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty hard to. You can tow a trailer. You can, you know, if you're going off to college, you can tow a small trailer. You can do this. There's so many things you can do with it. You can have fun at the beach. You can, you know, it's just, wow, what a great, how liberating.
So the rest of the top 10 that we talked about first, it was the CRV was number one, then the Mazda CX-5,
right.
The Hyundai Tucson.
Yeah, that's a nice car.
Very nice car. Kia Sorento, which I drove recently, which I liked a lot. Subaru Forester. We know how I feel about Subarus. Honda HR-V, which is a tougher car to find, right? That's not that a prevalent car.
They're new. It's new, and it's the Honda Fit. Yeah, that's kind of made into a CUV, and though it's okay, it's kind of tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
Toyota RAV4, which is a great vehicle, Nissan Rogue, and then the two Jeeps, like we talked about, the Jeep Wrangler and the Jeep Renegade, are yep. both on this Kelley Blue Book list. Editors taking up the top 10 SUVs, best buys under $25,000. All right. There is another list out, Mike, that's not – you don't want to be on this list.
No?
They're called – they're calling this the recall of the century.
Oh, yes. Yes,
this is as many as one out of 10 cars in this country, that is 10% of all vehicles, have a Takata airbag, which is now under recall. We're yeah. talking about light vehicle fleet of 257 million. We're talking about potentially 7 million of these inflators to be replaced. U.S. vehicles affected, up to 25 million cars affected here, Mike. This is ridiculous.
So they've already replaced 7 million, but there's 25 in total, 23 different brands. The nameplates, in other words, the models affected are 88 different models. But here's the deal. The government stepped in. I don't know if that's good or bad, but they said, wait a minute, what are the worst offenders? They said, wait a minute, what's killing the most, what's hurting the most people, causing the most injuries and the fatal injuries? And that's the older cars that are operated in high humidity and warmer climates. Okay, unfortunately, that's where I live.
Yeah, Houston.
Or you're on the Gulf Coast or down in Florida and things like that. So if you've got a 2000, a 2002, 3, 4, 5, or 6, and it's usually the driver's side airbag that causes the most injuries, because, of course, the driver's there mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you wouldn't be in the car if you didn't have a driver. And I tell you what, they're trying to take care of those first. But right now, only 31% of all these things have been fixed. That's not very many.
No.
And they've been doing it over a year. Of course, they haven't had the parts. And so the government's kind of stepped in and said, all right, wait a minute. Let's get the parts here for the worst ones first, and then the ones that are not as likely to have a problem, because it evidently gets worse as they get older, and it has to do with the inflators and what they inflated them with, the chemical, and as it gets older, it has a problem and it overinflates and it explodes the container.
Yeah, let me just give a real world, really scary example because you mentioned Houston, Mike.
Right.
Well, how about this? In January of 2015,
right,
a guy was driving a 2002 Honda Accord. He was 35 years old. He died at the scene of a relatively minor collision near Houston after a ruptured inflator sent metal shards into his neck.
Right.
I mean, that is like you get into a fender bender and all of a sudden this thing blows up and shoots metal into your head. That is
right.
Awful. Yep. That's really, really scary.
Right. One of them, I was killed, and it happened in a parking lot. And it's strange. I mean, it's some of these things happen at 5 miles an hour.
So, I haven't seen it in the story. Is there a lawsuit pending? I mean, we have a lawsuit against Volkswagen, so.
Oh, you have no idea the lawsuit. It is brutal. But some of these things they thought was a gunshot wounds and things like that. They finally figured it out, but it has to do with the stuff that they inflate the airbag with, and they finally figured it out. It's just as it gets older and it's inside the canister, and it's here's the deal: hot and humid climates pose the most risk. Where the inflators are, okay, driver's side inflators are the most likely to cause the fatal injuries, and also vehicles that are recalled with inflators on both sides of the car. Like if yours is recalled on the driver and passenger, you go to the front of the list, okay? You go to the front of the line, all right? And the older vehicle, you're in the front of the line, okay? And that's, you're in group one, okay? Group two are all the vehicles with the driver's side Takata airbags that are not the highest risk group. So you're in group two. And see, they finally group all these things up. They were just kind of like getting them done as they could, right? Now
right.
At least they've got it set up in groups, okay? Which are the ones that are going to hurt the most people? This and that, and I think it's a great idea.
Well, Mike,
it's like a triage.
Yeah, let's give the website out that you mentioned before about if you have a vehicle and you want to and you're wondering is your car being recalled?
SaferCar.gov. SaferCar.gov. Just look on there, put your VIN number. You can get it off your insurance card or your title or your car, off your vehicle. Get your VIN number, your vehicle identification number, 17 digits. Get it. Look on the website, which is the government website. It'll tell you if your car is recalled. And that'll make you feel better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you call your dealer, and they'll tell you if you are recalled, they'll tell you what group you're in.
Right. It is Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. More to come. Mike will give his car review, and then we'll talk a little tires coming up soon here. It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing, brought to you by Jeep here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. I'm Matt Perrault here on Yahoo Sports Radio on a Saturday morning as we continue talking about everything in the automotive world. And we're going to be now joined by Justin Hayes, who is with Firestone on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Mike, I'll let you take this and kind of roll some tire talk.
Well, you bet, because you know what? It's, spring break. We're all going to hit the road, and we all want to take care of our tires. And we're going to talk to Justin here. Justin, tell you what. We've all got some nice trucks, and the other day I was one of my neighbors asked me what he should do. He wants to retire his F-150, and as in he's not going to sell it. He wants to put new tires on. There you go. And what do you guys have from Firestone that he should put on there? He's not towing a lot of heavy stuff, but he's got a boat, good size, and wants some pretty good tires.
Sure, Mike. So, the F-150, so that's a class one vehicle. So, there's maybe a couple different offerings we could do. If he's doing a lot of mostly highway driving, we have the Destination LE2. That's our kind of our highway workhorse tire. So 60,000 mile warranty on that. Various speed ratings depending on the size. We have pretty good size coverage. So if you've got an F-150, I imagine we've got it covered. We also have the Destination AT line, which is our all-terrain line in the Firestone brand. So chances are we probably have coverage for an F-150 size in that as well. So if he's doing a little more off-road, off-roading or a little more gravel, dirt, those kinds of things, we could certainly look at an AT tire.
What's the difference between, it used to be you would go into a dealer and say, I want a highway tread or I want an off-road tread. Now, what's going to be the difference for people? Because they don't really know.
Yeah, great question. So, in general, highway tires, since you're going over kind of a more controlled road and situation a lot more often, we can optimize the contact patch for those scenarios. So you're going to have a little bit of quieter ride in general. There's going to be more rubber on the road, less void. Within that contact patch. So really we can tune a lot of the things in the footprint, which will give you, typically better wear, quieter ride. Now, when you go more towards an off-road tire, like the Destination AT, you're going to start noticing more void in the contact area. Maybe the shoulders look a little luggier. I talk to a lot of drivers that, they use the word luggy a lot. So that's going to help you in the off-road performance, and we can, kind of talk about that technology a little bit if you want. And then when you go to an off-road tire, a max traction tire, a lot of people call them MTs, a lot more void, a lot less edges, a lot luggier looking, and that's really going to give you the best traction when you're in an off-road condition like mud, gravel, sand, those kinds of things.
Kind of like a knobby tire on a dirt bike or something,
Yeah,
but the disadvantage of it is sometimes you get these guys they'll be driving past you, and you all of a sudden you'll open your window and you hear these tires and they're so loud, you don't want that. Obviously, that's the real off road tires.
Yeah, if you hear a tire screaming next to you, it's probably a pure off road tire.
Right.
A lot of guys like that though. A lot of Jeep drivers maybe they've jacked up their Jeep a little bit, but they're doing more on road.
Yeah.
And they're getting the 35s and 37 inch diameter tires. They like that. So that's certainly
guilty.
A characteristic of the MT tires.
Yeah, I'm guilty. Guilty. That's me. But that's what you got to have. You kind of one of those. Okay, you got to give and take. Okay, I've got to get there. I've got to have these tires, because once I get there. They're perfect, but I've got to kind of suffer till I get there. And
right, yeah, and so we can talk a little bit about. Let me tell you a little bit about the off-road performance, and
sure.
maybe dispel a popular driver myth as well. So, you know, when you're driving through a mud condition, you know, we talked about those tires being pretty luggy and open.
Right.
That really helps clear mud, keep the tread pattern clean when you're driving through mud or going through sand and those kind of things. I talk to a lot of drivers, they really get that. They understand that when the pattern stays clean, it's going to perform well in those conditions.
Right.
Now, one myth that I think a lot of truck drivers think that's not really true is that the same is true for winter performance. So if you're driving through snow, the opposite is true, in fact. You want to have a lot of snow retained in the tread pattern, kind of opposite what you want in a mud condition.
Really?
So that's why, you know, off-road tires still, you know, a lot of them still have sipes, you know, like our Destination AT still has a lot of little cuts in it that give you a little more biting edges in a condition like snow. And then the big open voids, which really help you out in the sand and mud.
I'll say, so when the tire has a lot of mud on it, that makes it slip. But when the tire has a lot of snow on it, that makes it grab.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, think about, when you were a kid or if you have kids and you're outside, maybe not in Houston, but, you know, you can imagine making
sure.
a snowman. You make a little snowball in your hand, and you put it on the ground and you roll it. And so it gets bigger and bigger and bigger because snow sticks to snow. Some of the best traction in snow you can get is snow on snow. So that's what we're trying to replicate in a tire as it goes down the road. And that's really a big thing that I think a lot of drivers don't intuitively understand just because it's opposite what you want in the mud, you know, an off-road performance.
Oh, okay, great. Now, do you guys have a website where we can pick this kind of stuff up?
Yeah, so firestonetires.com. There's lots of information there. If someone has maybe a stock truck or Jeep, they can go and put their information and see what tires and sizes we offer. I imagine a lot of your listeners have modifications.
Right.
Maybe they've done a lift kit or something like that. If they've done a modification, since each situation is pretty different, you know, in that case, I'd maybe recommend going to the actual, you know, reputable outfitter that did the modifications for them to recommend an appropriate tire and appropriate tire size. Probably a good way to do it.
We're talking to Justin Hayes from Firestone here on Let's Talk with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio. Justin, I just have one question, and this is sort of like a novice question. When you're trying to put the right tires on, you know, any vehicle, whether it be a truck or any vehicle, how do you recommend doing research where, you know, is the internet the best place to go? Is talking to somebody like Mike Herzing, who's an automotive expert, to find out? I mean, how do you go? Because oftentimes you walk in and people feel like, okay, someone wants to sell me something that my vehicle may not need. And if I'm a really novice and I don't understand what my vehicle should have on it for tires, what's the best way to do your own research so you feel more confident when you're buying something for your car or truck?
Yeah, great question. So in my experience, it's kind of different based on the age group of who's asking. A lot of younger guys I talk to, maybe in their, you know, in high school and in their 20s, they rely a lot on their friends, their social network, who's really experienced in some of the things that they're trying to get into. Maybe some of the, you know, I'm in my 30s, a lot of guys in their 30s, 40s, 50s, I think they would really value the expertise of a guy like Mike. I flipped through your website. You've got a lot of incredible reviews and information on there. I mean, that's certainly a great source for anyone, not just in the truck world, but in the automotive world. So I do see a good variety of sources, and I think it really just depends on a lot of people's feedback.
I can answer part of that for you, Justin, because I've been to the training that the Firestone dealers go to,
mm-hmm.
and it is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you what, if you go to a Firestone dealer, they will ask you a zillion questions, and they will point you to, like, tire A, B, or C, and then explain the advantages of all three of them, and they'll help you pick out the right one. Also,
yep.
their website will do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's a great point. And I think, like you're saying, a good salesman will really try to understand what you're trying to do with your truck and tire, or your vehicle. But if you're a truck driver, they're really trying to understand if you're more if you're more on-road, if you're more off-road, a good mixture, you know, you're doing backcountry driving. And then, they, you know, like you said, they'll help pair you with the appropriate tire for whatever situation you expect to experience the most.
Very cool. Justin, thanks for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Sure, yeah. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Justin Hayes from Firestone on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing right here every Saturday morning on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Run Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. We just talked to a representative from Firestone. And now before we get into the review portion of the program, where Mike can tell you about a great new vehicle he's been driving, it's time to answer questions from you, our audience. Remember, you can always email Mike at letstalkwheels.com, and he can answer any questions you may have about your automotive. So, Mike, let's get right to it. Our first question comes from Maria. Wants to know if it's okay to run the cheaper corn fuel, that's E85, on her 2004 Kia. She's done it several times, but was told by the attendant that she should not do that. Why?
I don't think her car is set up for the 85.
I don't think it is either.
Here's the deal, and I've seen people do it, and they get away with it, but here's the deal. It's real corrosive, and the fuel system has to be designed for it, and it's not good. And also, here's the other deal. It's really not cheaper. It's cheaper to buy it, but the fuel economy drops by like 20%.
Wow.
And yeah, it's like 15% cheaper, but you actually, it kills your fuel economy. But the main thing is it's corrosive and it'll eat up your fuel tank, your fuel lines. It'll mess up all the O-rings in the system. It'll damage your fuel pump. It'll damage your fuel injectors. It'll really hurt a lot of stuff. It'll really kill. If you have a small engine, don't ever put it in. Guys, never put it in your gas can.
Yeah.
Or put it in your lawnmower or it'll just destroy lawnmowers and weed eaters and things like that.
What's more dangerous, putting E85 in a vehicle not designed for it or putting diesel fuel in a car not designed for it?
Well, put diesel fuel in a car not designed for it, it'll just won't run.
Okay.
Okay, it just doesn't gonna run, you gotta fix it. E85, you know, it'll run, but it's just gonna damage it later on. You know, it'll run that fine. You do it once, you'll probably get away with it.
If you interesting.
Do it twice, you might get away with it, but it's going to end up corroding and it's going to end up causing a lot of damage. It's just, oh, I had a customer come in one time at a shop, and I went over, a buddy of mine called me, hey man, come look at this. It destroyed it. Injectors, it was so much damage. It was like, the guy tried to claim insurance. I don't know if he ever got insurance. They were like, we're not insuring you for being stupid. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. This is not an accident. You did it yourself.
Interesting.
And, he was running it for months and months because he thought it was cheaper. But it kills your fuel economy, and it really costs you more money. Do the math. You know, it really costs you more money. But all he saw was less money.
Right, at the pump.
And all right, terrible.
Our next question comes from Melanie, and I have an Equinox, so I'm curious about this myself. She has a 2010 Equinox that had a buzzing from the rear of the vehicle when it's running. She's been told that the fuel pump's going out, and since this is such an expensive repair, can she put it off for a while, or what would happen if she drove it to the point where it actually failed?
Well, when it fails, it just doesn't run. Okay, that's the fuel pump that's in the gas tank, you know, in the fuel tank. And when it doesn't run, it just... You know, when the fuel pump quits, it just doesn't run anymore. But here's the deal. I used to think that, too. Wow, I've got a noisy fuel pump. I had a customer one time who had a noisy fuel pump, and he had a noisy fuel pump for 5 years.
Huh.
Okay, I haven't noticed a real correlation between a noisy fuel pump and one failing. I used to think that, and then I started kind of paying attention, and guess what? I didn't notice correlation. Just keep driving it. I did notice I had a guy with a noisy fuel pump on a Chevy, and one time it quit, and he just thumped it with a bang. Actually, I take that back. He didn't have a noisy fuel pump, but his fuel pump quit. It wouldn't start. And I said, is it making noise? And he went back there and went, no, it's not. And I said, thump it with a stick. He thumped it with a stick while his wife was trying to start it. Guess what? It started up. He ran it for another couple weeks.
Wow.
But it would, every once in a while, it would stick. And I said, guys, it's got 250,000 miles.
Yeah.
Take a fuel pump in it. And he stuck a fuel pump in it and drove it for another 100,000 miles. But, you know, every once in a while, it'll stick for him. And I said, is it making any noise? Kind of in a way, it's just a little buzzing sound. That just tells him that it was working. And but some of them are a little bit noisier than others. And I never found a correlation to it. Maybe the shop kind of was panicky. My right. first one that I heard years ago, I thought it was going out, but dang it, it wasn't.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Here's an interesting question, because I think a lot of people are I don't know how you want to describe it, but a beater is kind of how I would call it, but I don't know if other people would agree with that.
What's that?
A car that you would be able to purchase, like this guy, Alonso. He wants to buy a 2003 Eclipse, okay?
Yeah.
So this is a pretty old, 13-year-old sports car.
Yep.
And he's wondering, if he buys it, How much of a expense will it be to fix the car when things go wrong with it, and how likely is it to have problems finding parts because the Eclipse is no longer made by Mitsubishi?
That's the problem. There aren't that many Mitsubishi dealers, and you know, up until this year, a lot of us were actually thinking about Mitsubishi might pull out. Okay, but their sales are up, and they seem to be recommitting themselves to the U.S. market. But that model, I don't know. I'd be careful because, they're expensive to get parts for. The Mitsubishi parts are kind of expensive, and they're hard to come by. And you don't really go to a wrecking yard and get the parts for that Mitsubishi. So it's not like it's a Corolla or a Civic.
Right.
Where there's a gazillion of them. So I said, you know, if you he wants a hot rod. He wants the hot rod. That's what that is. He doesn't want a beater. He wants to make it into a hot rod. And I talked to the guy a zillion times. And he wants to build. He wants to put this hot rod motor in it on the dealership. Can he get parts? He probably can. But that's not going to be the same as a Civic or a Corolla or a Mazda 3 or something like that. It's going to be a little bit harder, but he can get them.
Interesting. All right, this comes from Jeff. He has a 2004 Hyundai Accent. We've talked about this before, but when he turns on the AC, the car starts to squeal and sometimes even stalls out. Can you please tell me what may be causing that and what happens if and when the AC totally goes and it's no longer making cold air?
Well, in his particular case, it isn't making cold air because his compressor's locked up. So when he turns on the air conditioner, the compressor is frozen, so it stalls the engine out. And it squeals, the belt squeals. And I'm like, and I wrote him an email. I said, look, you know, your compressor's frozen. It's locked up. So when you try to do that, you're just burning the clutch up. So it's done. You're going to have to take the compressor and replace it and flush the system out and go to a pretty significant repair there.
Is it worth it on a car that old?
If that's all you have, yeah. I mean, that's what he wants. But it's going to probably be, if he fixes it himself, it's one thing. If he has it fixed, it's going to probably be him. $1,000 repair, $1,500 repair.
Okay.
He may not. You're right. It may not be what he wants to do. But hey, at least he can do it without air.
Right. So let's talk Wilson Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Okay. So let's go to Jose. He's looking at buying a 2012 Nissan Titan truck with only 41,000 miles. The seller says the truck has been quote rebuilt. What does the team rebuilt? The term rebuilt mean?
Yeah.
And is it a good idea to buy something that has an engine that's been, quote, rebuilt, or are there other issues coming down the pike, like potentially a transmission problem?
Well, the trick is, he thinks that means that the engine's rebuilt. No, that means the car's been rebuilt. That means the car's been totaled, declared a total loss by the insurance company, and now it has a rebuilt title, as in salvage. I see a lot of the titles will say rebuilt on them. That means not the engine's rebuilt, not the transmission's rebuilt. That means the car's been rebuilt, as in flooded and repaired, as in, you know, like broken in two and welded back together. You know, in other words, the car's been wrecked in total. Insurance company wrote it off. It went to auction. Somebody took it and fixed it. And now they're selling it. Okay? And they sell them at a pretty good price. You'll find them on usually Craigslist or something like that. And they sell them at a pretty good price. It's hard to get them insured, and I would never buy one.
No.
I mean, I've seen them that were okay, and I've seen them that were horrible. I saw one that was a Civic that was two Civics welded together in the middle. I swear. Okay.
Wow.
Honest to God. Okay.
All right.
But I've seen some of them that were done okay, and you know they were actually pretty decent cars. And you can get them really at an inexpensive price. But you have to look at the car, but you got to understand that it's a good deal, but it's also not worth it. You have to be able to sell it for money.
Right. It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Kersing. I'm Matt Perrault. We'll come on back. We'll get Mike's weekly review for what vehicle he is driving, and I'll give you my review next week because I'm driving a little electric car that I'll tell you all about coming up next week. But next, Mike Kersing, his review here. It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Kersing here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Kersing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Wild Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Kersing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Kersing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. I'm Matt Perrault, and we every week review the newest, greatest, and most fun vehicles to hit the market. This week, we'll let Mike take the honors. What are you driving around, Mr. Kersing?
Well, I actually have been a rock star this week.
Oh.
I have been driving, as far as pickup truck guys, I'm a rock star, the 2016 Chevrolet Colorado.
One diesel. Of the best-selling vehicles in the country right now.
Yeah, diesel. That's the magic word right here. Colorados are great. Nice mid-sized truck, but I'm driving the diesel. Four-wheel drive, Z71, crew cab, long bed, but it's a diesel, and it's a fun little vehicle. I mean, I've been flagged down. I've been waved. I even had a policeman, actually, pull up next to me and turn on his lights and said, "That is a diesel. That's awesome. Can I kind of look at it for a second?" I said, "Sure, just turn off your lights, would you?" They're thinking I'm getting pulled over. But, no, it's a great vehicle. I love the Colorado. It's a nice size. And, you know, for a lot of people, full-size trucks have kind of gotten, you know, priced out of the market, you know, $55,000 per. So for, you know, more than for $10,000 less or maybe even $10,000 or $12,000 less, you can load up a Colorado to the most everything you want on it and it'll be, you know, for less than that. Now, I know that sounds obscene, the fact that they can say, well, the Colorado is $40,000, you know, with everything on it or $42,000 for everything on it. That still sounds a little crazy for a truck, but oh well. Okay, mid-sized truck. They've been selling the heck out of these. They can't keep them in stock. You go to a Chevy dealer, there aren't any. All right. And then when they announced they were going to bring in the Duramax diesel, it's a V6 diesel, 3.6 liter, six-speed transmission to it. They're, all of a sudden, people actually went ballistic. They went crazy. It has so much. It has plenty of power. This engine could really even go in a Silverado, in a regular size truck. Maybe not quite enough power on it, but it has. It just runs great. It will go as fast as you want to go with it. It'll pull trailers. And I took it up to East Texas over the weekend. And we're doing 75, maybe a little bit more than that because I was with traffic. And we were, you know, I looked down and I'm hitting, you know, 28 and a half, almost 29 miles per gallon. So I decided we're on a flat spot. I slowed down a little bit to about 70, very, very flat area. I slowed down a little more and I'll get, you know, 31 miles per gallon. Get 31 miles a gallon in a four-wheel drive truck, and I was like, you know, it doesn't get much better. It's quiet. It's got plenty of power. I was like, wow, 31. I didn't think I'd ever be in a pickup truck. I got 31 miles a gallon in it, you know, and it. But you can't. It's wow. It's amazing. Around town, I've been averaging about 22, something like that. It says here you can average 23. Average 20 city, 29 highways, what it's rated at. Okay? And I can get better than the rating. Now, I mean, it's a diesel. You understand, this thing only got 1,700 miles on it. These cars aren't even at the dealer yet. This diesel's not even at the dealer. So that's what makes it so amazing. The dealers I talk to don't even have them. Okay? So that's why I was such a rock star, because I'm driving a vehicle that's not even out yet. And so that's what's the great thing about it. You know, it's also... Like I said, it's got plenty of power. It's quiet. It's not real diesel-y loud. I can go to the drive-thru. It doesn't make a lot of noise. But it's got all the stuff you like. It's got the remote start. It's got the rear vision camera. It's got the remote keyless entry. It's got all the airbags you can want, all the safety stuff. You know, it's got all that. It's got the four-wheel drive. It's got all stability control. It's got the exhaust brake. It's got... the four-wheel disc brakes. It's got anti-lock brakes. It's got the trailer towing package. It's got, you know, you got to lock the tailgate. You push the button. When you lock the doors, it locks the tailgate.
Hmm.
It's got the cool little thing when you step into the bed on the bumper. It's got a little notch for your foot. So when you go to get into the back of the bed, it's got the step right there. That's really cool. It's got everything you want. It's a very comfortable vehicle. The sticker on it is $34,000. It's a $3,900 price increase for the Duramax diesel. It's got a Bose stereo, premium Bose audio system. Very, very nice. It's got the Chevrolet MyLink audio system. Very, very nice. That's an extra $495. The Bose system is an extra $500. I would get it if I were you. It's got the spray-in bed liner. It's got a trailering package. I mean, the whole thing with everything is about $41,000. And that sticker. You can probably even get a little bit off sticker on these, even though they're brand new. It's a great vehicle. It's got the 4G LTE front and rear hotspot. And so you can't beat all this stuff. It's got OnStar, which is one of my favorite features of all the vehicles. But it feels almost like a full-size truck. And driving it, it's comfortable with four adults, maybe even five. It's a great family vehicle. It gets the fuel economy of an SUV.
Right.
It's pretty hard to beat, man.
You're a truck guy, so tell me, would you one day, if you were in the market for one,
buy
this
in a heartbeat? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need a big truck to get around. I have a mid-sized truck right now, and I don't need a big truck. I really don't. And this will haul anything I want. And this is great. I see the trucks going this direction, and the diesel. Now, if you get a V6, you can save $3,000 or $4,000, and you just get in the V6.
Yeah.
But if you're going long distances or you want an engine that has lots of power, the diesel's hard to beat. Now, I drove a trailer coming back. I pulled a small trailer with a couple of jet skis. I had a bunch of dirt in the back of the bed, so I had about 300 or 400 pounds in the bed, and then a trailer on the back, and my fuel economy dropped all the way down to 23. Oh, whoopee. I mean, normally if I had a gas engine, it would have dropped down to 15. Or
right,
15.
Right, absolutely.
It dropped to 23. I'm like, and I was hauling butt.
So very nice.
Can't beat it.
Very nice. All right, if you missed any part of the program, you can get it on podcast on podcastarena.com. For Mike Herzing, I'm Matt Peralta. We'll talk to you next week.
See you next week.
For Let's Talk Wheels and Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports.